Thank you, brother. Before I begin, I do want to just, I'm just really excited. It's really always exciting for me to have an opportunity to share with a little more time with the body, just what my heart is. It's just a privilege. It really is a privilege to be here, stand with you, and, you know, with our congregation, with our community, and share God's word with you. That may be code for please don't walk out on me. I'm not sure. Since it's Rally Sunday, this is when we introduce some of the small groups for those of you who are not familiar. We're going to be starting our small groups again for another trimester for the summer. And I wanted to talk to you today about the power of one another, the whole idea of the power that we have in Christ with one another. Let me just begin by praying. Heavenly Father, thank you, God, for your word. Thank you that your word just, it pierces us and teaches us and provides practicality. And I pray, Lord, that as I speak today, that your Holy Spirit would speak to people and give them practical ways that we can come together more closely as your body to learn from one another. And to grow. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 We often believe that it's better to go through life doing things on our own without the help of others. But that's really not what we're instructed to do to reach our highest calling in Christ. If we look at the scripture, let's look at Ephesians. In Ephesians 4, Paul is discussing in this passage about not remaining immature or as an infant. We're being encouraged to grow. But he says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Christ himself, who is the head. And this is the key part of the passage I wanted you to look at. From him, the whole body, that is, we are part of the body of Christ, is fitted and held together by every supporting ligament, okay? I.e., that would be you. You are a supporting ligament, right? And as each individual part does its work, the body grows. The body grows. Not just in numbers, it grows in him and builds itself up in love. The power of one another is in our unity to help us go further and higher together in Christ. You know, our theme for this year is love does, absolutely. And one important absolute is that God has purposed your brothers and sisters to go deeper into your life, to strengthen you, to encourage you, to help you go higher and further in your calling. You've seen how birds fly in formation. When geese make that V shape, it takes over 30% less energy for them to fly by moving their wings together. So each wing movement creates an updraft for the bird behind to fly faster and easier. And in a single day, with the right tailwind, they can travel up to 1,500 miles. They could do it by themselves, but by God's design, they go further by using their strength in one another rather than flying solo. You know, over 59 times in the scriptures, it says one another. Love one another. Encourage one another. Serve one another, comfort one another. Being in Christ and a Christ follower is a one another experience for us. We all need one another around us. Don't isolate yourself and think, well, I'm strong enough, I'm tough enough, I'm talented enough. You may be for what you have in mind, but not for what God has in mind. Don't be a loner, a kind of a lone ranger Christian that says, I don't need others. Every one of us in the body of Christ needs each other. I heard about this mother. One Sunday morning, she went up to wake up her son and tell him it was time to get ready for church, to which he replied, "I'm not going." And she said, "Well, why not?" And he said, "I'll tell you two good reasons why. One, they don't like me, and two, I don't like them." His mother said, well, I'll give you two good reasons why you should go to church. One, you're 54 years old, and two, you're the pastor. So what am I saying? I think Greg's around 54 years old, isn't he? No matter who you are or how you feel about it, we all need one another as followers of Christ. God has something bigger, something more rewarding that you cannot do by yourself. Are you flying solo today, or do you have a community of faith going with you? People flying with you, watching over you, encouraging you, inspiring you. In a 2017 interview about his career success, Steph Curry described it this way. He used the words "we" when describing his wins. He said, "We feel like something good is going to happen when everybody on the team or everybody on the court touches the ball and feels involved. Whether it's me shooting or KD shooting or Clay shooting at the end of the possession, if everybody touches it, there's an opportunity to feel involved in that play, and something good is going to happen." He recognizes the principle of one another. You can be good in your faith by yourself, but you'll never be great in your faith by yourself. That's just the way God has made this. Can you say amen? You won't meet the higher calling in Christ you were created for without other strong believers around you. God has fashioned his greatest work in you through the power of one another in Christ. You might go 40, 50, 60% doing the Christian life on your own. But when you get into formation, when you have the prayer and the strong faith of others creating an updraft for you, praying for you, encouraging you, you're going to go 40, 50, and 60% higher and further in your calling. The scripture says in Hebrews 10, "Let's consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds." This is the key part of the verse, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day, that is the day of the Lord, Christ's coming, as you see it approaching. The power of one another is it's a commitment to a group of other people to reach your highest calling in him. When we're committed to others as a body of believers, united in faith, there's something that happens that you cannot get on your own. When we draw strength from each other, as your prayers and your testimony agrees with the prayer and the testimonies of others, power is released. Healing is released. Joy is released. When you're committed to others, you're being refreshed, restored, and renewed. Now, I'm really glad that so many of us assemble together on Sunday, but don't let that be a substitute for going further in the Lord. Let it be in addition to. Amen. We're called to become closer as a community. As a community of faith, your faith in agreement with everyone else's faith releases something powerful in the spirit. Power that breaks bondages and addictions. It lifts depression. It brings freedom and healing to the brokenhearted. That's what it does. That's what commitment to others in Christ can do. I know there's a lot of other things you could be doing than going deeper with a group of people. It takes time. It takes an investment. You've got to drive somewhere after work or on your day off. Some of you have been up early with your kids, or you need to keep up with other social commitments. Or if you're like me, you're just plain too tired to go out. In 1 Corinthians, Paul tells us that over 500 witnesses saw Jesus resurrected in Jerusalem. But in the book of Acts, only about 120 waited with one another for God's promise. Now, we don't know where the other 380-something were that day. Maybe they were busy shopping, or they had a sick donkey to tend to, or they just slept in. All good things, but what we do know is this. On that day, they missed God's best, which was prepared for those who joined with one another. Meeting with others takes time, takes effort, takes consistency, but I know this. You'll never give the Lord something without Him giving you back more in return. That includes your time as well, because we're all pressed for time. Scripture says, giving, pressed down, like compressed, is how His blessings work. Shaken together, running over. That is the character of God, your Father. That's how He works. I want to take a moment here to ask Corey Karuma and Christian Gonzalez to come up for a moment, and I just wanted to have them share a little bit about what going deeper with a group has been like for them. So come on up, guys. And do we have a... You could speak into my cheek if you'd like right here. That's a little weird, but... Is this one on?
Check, check, check.
All right. So, Corey. Yeah, let us know, what group are you in?
Sure, the Sunday Message to the Max, okay. Led by my brother Kevin.
Okay, yep. Yeah, and how has just the idea of one another and just been an encouragement to you and to Cindy? And
so the story I wanted to share today was specifically about prayer, prayer from the entire church body along with specifically the group in common. So, as I mentioned, I'm part of the Sunday Message to the Max group that's led by my brother. In that group, we just really focus on the Sunday message and go deeper in the message, and we're able to ask any questions or share our perspective or some concerns maybe that we have on that message. But one of the things that I really enjoy about that group is that at the end of the group, Kev always allows time to share prayer requests. And, I think that's just always a great opportunity to be able to praise God or just to ask God for anything that you might need. And so the story I'd like to share is really 9 months ago. So 9 months ago, it was an ordinary day. Cindy and I had just put Mateo down. It was pretty late at night. We were ready to go to bed, but something in my body just didn't feel right. And so I told Cindy, I said, "Hey, I think we need to go to the hospital right now." So called up my dad quickly. Thankfully, he was still awake, and he was able to come keep an eye on Mateo, and we headed to the hospital about 11 p.m. at night. Of course, Cindy was pretty worried at this point, and so I said, "Don't worry about it. It's probably just going to be a routine just checkup. I might get administered some medicine, but I'll be home that same night. We'll get to see Mateo again." So we got to the hospital, and we were they were doing tests on me. They were taking some blood samples and stuff. And we were sent back to the waiting room. A couple minutes later, they started saying, "Hey, why don't we just get you admitted in?" And so I was like, "Oh, that's kind of weird." They put an IV port in my arm, and they put me in a hospital bed. And so I was like, "Well, what's going on? I thought this was just a normal routine checkup thing." So eventually, the doctor came in, and he said, "So we did a couple of tests on your blood, and there's this level in a protein within my body that's, for most people, it should be under 1,000. He said, your level is at 50,000 right now, and so that's a very major concern. So we're going to have to keep you overnight." And so that kind of threw me for a loop. I was like, "What's going on? I didn't expect this." And so, of course, Cindy was extremely worried, and eventually the news got out to, of course, friends and family and the church body and, of course, the group in common. And so I started feeling the prayers that I was receiving from all my friends and family, And that after that first day, they were taking blood samples every 12 hours just to kind of keep check on that level. So after the 12 hours, the first test, that level went from 50,000 down to 30,000. So it's like, oh man, the prayers are working. This is praise Jesus is great. And then I was like doing the math and the trend. I was like, okay, this is gonna I'm gonna be out
He's
of here.
He's an engineer,
like,
by the way.
Yes, I'll be out of here in like one day, and so you know it'll be all over with. I can walk out. I'll be good. So the next 12 hours, the doctor came in and he was like, oh, you know, it's unfortunately your levels are up to 70,000 now. And I said, man, who forgot to pray? I was like, come on. No. So I was like, what's happening? And so I kind of threw me for a loop again, and I was really kind of praying to God, and I was like, what did I do wrong, right? And so all said and done, long story short, I stayed there for about 4 days in the hospital, and I was like, man, did I just pray wrong? Did I do something wrong, you know? And it wasn't until the last day that it became clear to me what happened. So a nurse on one of my last days came in. She's like, oh, you have that random condition that you have. I was like, oh, yeah, I guess I have that. She's like, oh, well, I had that 2 years ago. I said, oh, you did? And she said, are you in any pain? And I said, no, I'm in no pain. So you're able to go up and walk around? And I'm like, yeah, I can go walk the halls if I want to. And she was like, you're so lucky. 2 years ago, I was bedridden for 2 weeks in the hospital, and I was under so much pain that I had to take painkillers every single day. And so that really kind of put things in perspective for me. It really showed me that prayer within the church body, prayer within the groups in common really helped me overcome that, and it just was just so great.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you. Thanks for... This is Christian Gonzalez. There you go. Christian, talk about what group you're in and just how making a commitment to a group has been encouraging for you.
Well, I'm at the, my name is Christian Gonzalez. I'm with the young adult group, and I originally started out with the high school group. Can you hear me, guys?
Yeah.
I originally started out with the high school group, and that's where I really came closest to Christ. And from then on, I wanted to be in groups like that, where you just share your love with God with others, and everyone's coming close together and in the spirit of God and just growing and loving God and worshiping. And it's honestly a wonderful thing. Mm-hmm. And I can't get enough of it. What else would you like to know? Sorry, I've never had to stand up here before.
You're doing a good job.
Well, I think probably my favorite thing about this group is how we like to sit down and read the word together and decipher it, understand what it means, and share what it means between each other, and stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah, and I love God, and if you love God, you're a young adult, you should come by and come share your love with God with us, and you know, we'll be friends together.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sean. Thanks, guys. It's good stuff. The biggest blessing, and I think their testimonies are true of that, the biggest blessing you'll ever receive is being joined together with other people in Christ. Spending time with other people. You just... Something happens, something changes when you do that. I wanted to look at another scripture. It's out of 1 Peter. 1 Peter 4 puts it this way. It says, as you come to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. Here's the key part for us. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. The power of one another is being built up together to give our lives, to others. This is the spiritual sacrifice, giving your lives to other people. Here at Abundant Life, we have four behaviors. So a lot of you put some stickers on your phone earlier in the year. Reach out first, right? Encourage one another. Express your joy. Serve someone. Our behaviors are focused on others. When you come together, it's not only strengthening you, but it's helping others. Sometimes you think, well, everything's just great in my life. I don't need to be involved in a closer relationship with others. If you're doing great, why don't you join others and let the Christ in you be for somebody else? Why don't you let your worship create an atmosphere for God to bless others? Your smile can be what keeps them going. Your hug, your hospitality, your friendship can be what puts them back on their feet. Being closer to others makes us all stronger. Your faithfulness is what's causing some people to keep moving forward. They came in thinking, I can't go on in their situation. But when they hear your testimony, when they see your smile, when they sense your encouragement, it breathes new life back into their spirit. Everyone here will experience storms that will test their foundation. But the scripture says, where two of us, where two or more, are gathered together in his name, he's with us. We're on a firm foundation. Together, we are living stones being built up into a spiritual house. Small groups are here to stabilize you, to steady you, to strengthen you, to firm you up when your house is shaken. For that storm to take you out, it's going to have to take us all out. And that is not possible. With our authority in Christ, the scripture says one can chase 1,000 of the enemy, but two can put 10,000 to flight. Church, when we're closely connected with one another, we can't be defeated. Together, we're powerful against the one who tries to steal, kill, and destroy. We are strong when we build up one another. In 2001, one of my four daughters was diagnosed at 12 years old with a very rare leukemia. For my wife and me, it was a feeling of indescribable disappointment, weakness, and uncertainty. I think for any parent, the prospect of losing your child is probably the most painful experience you can have on this earth. With experimental therapies, the doctors at Lucile Packard were able to get her into remission. But in her 12th month, she relapsed, and we went into another very hard year involving a bone marrow transplant. And during the whole ordeal, a closely knit group of people cared for our family, to support us, to build us up. And as Corey was mentioning, I could feel the strength of people praying. Some of those people are here today. You remember praying for us. We could feel your support, your loyalty, how you wanted us to succeed. We were shaken. We didn't know if we could even do this. But we had a bunch of living stones tightly fitted around our family. People praying for us, people helping us get our kids to school, preparing us meals, sending notes of encouragement. And Jeanette spent almost every night in the hospital for 8 weeks during Jana's transplant. She told me about two people who would come late in the evening just to sit with Jana, my daughter. She was really too sick to speak, and Jeanette was too worn. I talked to myself several times saying, I'm not going to cry. Jeanette was too worn down for visitors. But they came, two different people, two different occasions. They came regularly just to quietly be there, to have a presence, to pray, and to be living stones for us. You don't, in other words, you don't always need to have the right words to reach out and to encourage somebody or to build someone up. You just have to be available to help someone stand when they can't stand on their own. Okay? I am happy to say that Jana has been cancer-free for 20 years, over 20 years, and she's happily married, serving the Lord in the Seattle area. What am I saying? You don't have to do life solo. If you're a living stone sitting by yourself, you're not going to last long when a hard storm hits. You're not going to stand on your own. We're designed to be connected. You need a family of faith around you. That's why we're here. That's why we have small groups. When we meet regularly, we're gonna stand with you. We're gonna encourage you. We're gonna challenge you. We're gonna inspire you. That's the power of one another that we have in Christ. Here's my question. Are you flying solo today? Are you doing life on your own that's keeping you from your highest calling in Christ? We need you plugged in, committed, faithful for the long haul trip that we're going to take together. Without you, we won't be as strong. You have something that is vital to someone else. You have something to offer that nobody else has. When you're committed to going with one another, you'll not only go to new heights, but you're going to create an atmosphere for God to take others there too. So anyway, today is an opportunity to get connected. I want to invite the leaders to come up and to stand behind the tables. And we're going to take some time this morning. I'd love for you to review the groups and to go further with us. Can you say amen? I'd like to close by just giving you an opportunity to make Jesus the Lord of your life. Would you pray with me? Just say, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for sinning against you. I turn away from my sin and turn to your forgiveness. Be my Lord and my Savior. Amen. If you prayed that today, it's a simple prayer. You're starting a whole new life. And we just want to invite you, if you prayed, come forward and speak to me after, and or Sean or Rick. We'd like to give you more information. So God bless you all. Have a great day. Have a great morning. Amen.
Please see our website at www.alagonline.com. That's www.alagonline.com. Or you can call us at area code 408-252-2668. Our address is 10,100 North Stelling Road in Cupertino, California.